2. Biology isn't enough. Music exposes why some human behavior makes no sense biologically or in terms of evolution. We love music because we love it, not because our ancestors made more and better babies if their genes carried a response to music. Searching for the evolutionary need for music puts the cart before the horse. Instead of requiring music as a survival mechanism, we enjoy surviving thanks to music, because our minds delight in it. By any reasonable Darwinian perspective, human hearing should have favored the keenest possible sensitivity so that our ancestors could hear a lion 100 yards away instead of 10 or 20. Not getting eaten is a good way to survive. Or, like the Arctic fox, we should be able to hear a mouse move under 2 feet of snow. More food in winter leads to better survival. But we didn't evolve with that kind of acuity. Instead, we evolved the totally useless, from the point of view of survival, yet joy-enhancing love of music. Music is personal, whimsical, and unpredictable. That's not a flaw that science needs to correct or explain. It's part of human nature. On one famous occasion, enemy soldiers walked out of the trenches in World War I to sing Christmas carols together. Which is more human, that behavior, or fighting to the death in a senseless war? Both, in fact. Human nature, like music, is inexplicable in its complexity. Something new was created spontaneously when Let It Be emerged. New styles arise out of sheer inspiration. But let's say that one could build a supercomputer and input every possible musical chord and phrase. There would be more of these than atoms in the universe, by the way. And let's program the computer to develop all possible musical styles. In time, it would produce the music of Beethoven purely at random. But that's the very thing that invalidates the computer brain model. Because Beethoven didn't spend 1,000,000 hours tapping out random combinations until a new style emerged. Instead, a musical genius was born. A single musical mind who listened to the old style, creatively grew beyond it, and changed classical music forever. 3. Your brain isn't listening to the Beatles. You are. The mind-brain problem, also called the hard problem, has proved so impossible because putting the brain first was a mistake. Neurons don't listen to music. We do. Therefore, why examine neurons as the key to music or to any experience? Even the most basic elements of consciousness are absent from the brain. It has no idea that it exists. If you stuck a knife into it, the brain feels no pain. It has no preference for the Beatles or Led Zeppelin. In short, mind cannot be explained by using any object or thing, even the glorious object that is our brain. You wouldn't ask your car radio whether it preferred the Beatles or Led Zeppelin. You wouldn't expect your laptop to cry, "Ow," if you stuck a knife into it. It's time to face facts. There is no physical process that turns air vibrations into music. Inside the brain, there is no sound. It is a completely silent environment. Let It Be, with its qualities of sweetness, religious feeling, pleasure, and all the rest, isn't a product of brain circuitry. It is built from the infinite potential of the mind that gets processed by our nervous system. Music cannot be found in a radio, a piano, a violin, or in a collection of neurons sending chemical and electrical signals to one another. If we take these facts seriously, the mind assumes a status no machine can duplicate. This status is what we call consciousness. Consciousness cannot be fabricated, which makes it possible to reinvent the universe, not as a place where consciousness somehow got cobbled together on lucky planet Earth, 2/3 of the way out from the center of a galaxy called the Milky Way, but as a place where consciousness is everywhere. There are many fence-sitters in physics who will concede that nature acts in mind-like ways, but they cannot swallow the proposition that the universe behaves exactly like a mind. Schrödinger had accepted this impasse almost a century ago, when he declared that it makes no sense to subdivide consciousness. If it exists at all, it exists everywhere, and we would add, at all times. Therefore, when someone says that consciousness is solely a property of the human brain, they are guilty of special pleading. The brain is doing nothing special that isn't happening throughout the universe. Why is the human mind creative? Because the cosmos is creative. Why did the human mind evolve? Because evolution is built into the fabric of reality itself. Why do our lives have meaning? Because nature proceeds with a drive toward purpose and truth. We promise to answer the why questions that crop up everywhere in daily life. And now we hold the key to all of them. Cosmic mind drives every event and gives it a purpose. At this point, we've covered 9 cosmic mysteries that lead to 2 conclusions. First, the best answers being offered by science aren't good enough. The "we're almost there" camp wears an optimistic mask. But behind the mask is confusion and deflating confidence. Much less popular is that we've barely begun to find the answers camp. But its position holds the overwhelming amount of evidence on its side. It may even be true today that this view is held by a majority of researchers and theorists. The second conclusion is that reality is trying to tell us something new. It's saying that the cosmos needs to be redefined. All the taboo words rejected by physicalism, creativity, intelligence, purpose, meaning, have gained a new lease on life. In fact, we have shown that they are the cornerstone of a conscious universe, expressly created for the evolution of the human mind. Reality is the ultimate judge. There is no court of appeals that ranks above it. If reality is pointing the way to a new universe, it would be pointless to resist. Keeping faith with "one day we will know all the answers" does not get us closer to the goal of tackling the nature of reality, here and now.